There's music from Jim Cole. Song is called Wayward Son. We heard from Mercy Me, Word of God Speak. And we heard from Twyla Paris, I'm Keeping My Eyes on You. It's 12 minutes past the hour. It's a Monday morning. We're Broken Road Radio. And joining us now, this time from the Minneapolis area, is Dr. Don Clark. Don is a biochemist, a member of the board at Creation Moments, and we're delighted to have you. So you're not that far from us, Don.
Well, apparently not. not right at the moment. I mean, I had a Creation Moments board meeting this weekend, and so came up for that, and about ready to fly out to Boise, Idaho.
Beautiful
for
place.
Another meeting.
That should be pretty out there. Of course, Don is a resident of Texas, East Texas, Garden Valley, Texas, but up in Minnesota for this meeting. Anything earth-shaking out of that meeting we should know about? You're still going to be around, aren't you?
Oh, yes. No.
Right. I wanted to make
sure. Definitely going to be around. Actually, next year is our 50th anniversary. Will be our 50th anniversary, so... Creation Moments, previously known as the Bible Science Association, has been around for almost 50 years now.
That's pretty impressive, I think. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how many other ministry. The area that you specialize in, creation science, what was going on before you were here? I mean, were there? We've talked a couple times about different sides of the argument. There's young Earth creationists. There's old Earth creationists. There's just plain science that would deny any kind of creation or intelligent design. The argument itself has been going on for a long time, but how long have there been ministries active in this particular part of the battle?
Well, in the United States, we're the oldest ministry.
The oldest one, okay.
Yes, and then some other folks, you know, started joining in the battle, in particular Henry Morris, who started Institute of Creation Research, which is now down in the Dallas area. Mm-hmm. Used to be in El Cajon in California. Mm-hmm. And they actually have a graduate program that you could go to and get your degree in creation science.
Okay. Well, science, it's kind of like science versus science. Science doesn't tell the whole story. I mean, there's a search for facts, but then there's your interpretation and how you understand it and how you relate it to stuff we already know, or at least ought to know. And in this case, scriptural knowledge really informs our science as opposed to working the other way around. I guess that's what the battle is all about. And today we're talking about a piece of wood, which in itself doesn't sound real exciting, but this piece of wood was found in something called a kimberlite. Don, what's a kimberlite?
A kimberlite is it's actually magma that comes from deep within the earth.
It's molten rock then.
It's originally molten, so it's molten magma that pushes up through a crack in the earth and forms a long tube. And the tube, if you look at it, you know, from bottom side up type of thing, looks like a carrot, but much bigger, of course. And in this case, a piece of metasequoia, which is like a dawn redwood, was found in the middle of, in the center of this kimberlite, or in the center of this tube.
Now, this was deep down in the earth, wasn't it? I'm looking at this article. By the way, if you'd like to follow the article, anybody listening, there's a website or a link to the article on our website, brokenroadradio.com, up to the top left. You can copy that and paste it into your browser. I was not able to get an actual link in that portion of the website, but you can copy that and paste it and look at the same article we're looking at. And this thing was, 300 meters down? Is that correct?
Yeah, 300 meters, about 1,000 feet down. Actually, it was found in a diamond mine. Diamonds are often found in kimberlites. Not often, but that's they look for kimberlites and hopefully have diamonds in them because they're thinking is that well, these things are really really old and other substances crystallize out within them, and so if you're looking, looking to find diamonds, these are good places to look.
Now, this was up in the Northwest Territories, way up in northern Canada. So, were they looking for diamonds? These are geologists maybe looking for diamonds, and this was an incidental discovery then.
Well, it wasn't actually a geologist. It was a diamond company looking for diamonds. And their workers came across this this particular one with a big chunk of wood in it. And so it was completely encased, by the way, in the kimberlite. So it wasn't like part of it was, you know, sticking through the kimberlite. It was this particular wood was completely encased in it.
Now, there's another associated article that has a photo of this piece of wood, and it's not a little tiny chunk. This is like the size of your forearm, I suppose, huh? Like a small log that you'd throw on a fire.
Right. No, it's a good size. So these kimberlites can be quite pretty large.
Why is this piece of wood of issue here?
Well, because they dated. Now, some geologists and researchers took the kimberlite. Actually, the kimberlite was, I guess, given to the University of Alberta, and then some scientists got a sample of the kimberlite and the wood, and they ran rubidium strontium isochrone analysis on it, so radio dating analysis, using rubidium and strontium, which is a common technique. And they found that the kimberlite was 53.3 million years old.
So the rock, the what once was molten rock around this wood sample was dated to 53 million years using this. Now, this is not like carbon dating. This method is used for much older things, isn't it?
That's right. Okay. Because you need radioisotopes with much longer half-lives than carbon-14.
Mm-hmm.
So they even in the article they say, "Wow, this is amazing that one could find a intact, unmineralized, unfossilized, wood in the center of a kimberlite that's supposedly 53 million years old."
Now, acquaint us again with what a fossil is. A fossil is, you say, mineralized, the original material in a fossil. That is, the organic material that was the animal or the skeleton or whatever it was replaced by minerals in like an exact image of the animal. That's what a fossil is, correct?
Yes, that's right.
So you're not looking at the actual organic tissue. You're looking at rock minerals of different kinds. It just happens to look like the original structure did. In this case, we're talking about wood or cellulose that now should be 53 million years old. And the fact that it's still cellulose is pretty amazing, huh?
Well, yes, they did oxygen and hydrogen analysis on the cellulose to show that it was actually intact, that it hadn't degraded.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, if you look at the pictures, you could see that the wood structure is still there. So the cells are probably still there if you look at them under the microscope. Of course, the cells aren't going to be alive, but the wood structure itself is very much there. There is no intrusion into the wood with any type of minerals. So this is a remarkable find.
So they're making the assumption that this wood is also 53 million years old, if not older, because it was encased in stone that is dated to 53 million years. Now, we preserve stuff at home by putting it in the freezer. To make it last longer, but that really doesn't preserve it, does it? That simply slows down the rate of decay.
That's right. Yeah, and that's the whole mm-hmm. that's the whole point here. And studies have been done to look at the rate of decay of wood, for example. And if you have a hardwood in a wet environment at the supposed temperatures this was at the time. The wood would decay at a half life of about 200 years. Softer wood in a dry environment might be, they've looked at that and it looks like it's about 8,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
So at the most, the wood would have stayed around about 40,000 years or five half lives mm-hmm. at the most, and then it would have been completely decayed. And there you would just find
just chemical remnants of it, then.
Yeah, maybe chemical remnants, but maybe not. So
it would just create a void. It would have just disappeared.
Yeah, it would have just completely decayed. Maybe you might find some carbon, but for the most part, it would be, you know, completely decayed.
Okay, now this relates to another recent conversation we had about dinosaurs, because the numbers strike me as similar. We talked last week about some soft tissue samples actually being found in dinosaur bones that had been dated to whatever the age of the dinosaurs was, 60 million years ago. And scientists were amazed to find that. And when studies were done on the soft tissue and it was cleaned of any impurities, it was actually dated to about 40,000 years. Now, that's the same as the five half-lives of wood that you just mentioned. So that organic material, by and large, I'm assuming this now, correct me if I'm wrong, you would expect to disappear within 40,000 years. It would be chemically very different from its original composition. So this wood could not have lasted that long, and yet there it is. So what are scientists concluding here?
Well, these particular researchers concluded that, kimberlite is a ideal environment for preserving wood. So instead of the obvious that, hey, maybe the dating on the kimberlite is wrong, they made another interesting comment. They said, because of the oxygen and hydrogen analysis that they did on the cellulose, they could figure that the tree at the time of encapsulation, that environment was much warmer than the environment today, by 12 to 17 degrees centigrade. So the tree lived in a warmer environment. Now, the location where they found this was just south of the Arctic.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like, you know, this was found in a warm environment. As a matter of fact, the trees got wiped away in the ice age by glaciers. So glaciers came across over that area at the time.
So this would be an intriguing sample of a primeval forest.
Right, exactly. A pre-ice age forest. So let's talk about how we would interpret this from a biblical point of view. And one of the other things that they had mentioned, magma is very hot, and anything touching it usually burns.
Yeah, that's a curiosity here.
And so this wood was not burned, at least, you know, that I could find to any degree.
Well, from the photo, it doesn't look like it's been, there's no ash, no singeing, no indication that it was exposed to fire.
Right. So the thought was that, gee, the magma cooled very, very rapidly after it encased this particular, you know, chunk of wood. And then the wood itself may have been wet to help cool the magma from the inside. So you've got rapid cooling. Now, those of us from a biblical perspective would say, well, gee, maybe this piece of wood got encapsulated right before the flood or during the flood. Because we know that a lot of geological activity was going on. There was a lot of volcanic activity going on, hence magma coming up from the earth. And perhaps this should be dated about the time of the flood.
So maybe 4,000 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, no more than 3,500 years ago, mm-hmm. You know, that this piece of the wood should be dated. Now, the interesting thing is that they did not do carbon-14 dating on the wood, which would be a logical thing
to
do.
It seems like they would jump right on that, yeah.
Yeah, but being 53 million years old, carbon-14 is useless to do. You're not going to find any carbon-14 there. But like the dinosaur bone samples that we talked about last week, just because you assume that something is 53 million years, you do a test and it says, well, this is 53 million years old, or in the case of the dinosaurs, greater than 80 million years old, does not mean that, you know, if you have tissue there, if you have, in this case, you know, wood, they say pristine wood, so mm-hmm. very well preserved wood, that your natural conclusion would be, well, let's just go ahead and do carbon-14, see what we get. But they didn't do that, and presumably because they're thinking, well, gee, this is so old, we're not going to find any carbon-14 in the sample.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't they still do it, though?
Is it too late? Yes, the samples are still there, so anybody who wants to do a carbon-14 dating of this particular wood would be heroes, I think.
Dave, I think we need to fire off another email.
Yep, I think it's
helped. Do the carbon-14 right thing, yeah. Send it off.
Write it right now.
Because apparently they need reminding. And Don,
you have an address? You have a person to talk to?
No, I have to look at that article here.
Okay.
There's a phone, a journal phone. Well, that's a website. We can get a hold of them and say, hey, have you thought of carbon-14 dating on that? What strikes me as curious here, and this I have to put in the form of a question. If something old is encapsulated, totally sealed in something older than it, that implies that either that was created inside of the older thing, which is pretty illogical, at a later date, or could it be that the 53 million year dating on this magma really doesn't tell you when the magma was formed, when the basic material was formed in the center of the Earth or wherever it came from? I mean, that 53 million year old date is not necessarily the date of the magma flow that created the kimberlite, is it? What does that tell us? What does that reading tell us?
Well, yeah, the presupposition is that that's when the magma was formed. That's when it pushed up through the Earth.
But the material in the magma would be much older than that particular seismic event.
Yes, that's right. One would think. Hmm. But they... I guess this particular method, and I'm not all that sure about it, but I guess this particular method corrects for anything that would be, the older molten material.
They're presuming that this is the date of the formation of the rock from liquid, the solidifying of the rock is what they're saying.
Right. Okay. That's what they're assuming. So they're basically, saying that, gee, this event happened 53 million years ago.
You know, there's an old saw in philosophy that if you find a contradiction, since in actual creation, contradictions can't exist, you go back and you re-examine your premise because there's something wrong in your assumptions to begin with, and that seems to be the case here.
Yes. One would think that you would at least... investigate a little bit more rather than just say, well, gee, the kimberlites are excellent sources of preservation. I might add that diamonds are thought to be formed like a billion years ago, 1 to 3 billion years ago. And, of course, they're, like I said earlier, they're found in these kimberlites. But carbon-14 dating has been done on some diamonds, and guess what? There's carbon-14 in the diamonds. Hmm. So that suggests that, well, the diamonds aren't that old either. So this long age, this deep time thinking is, in my mind, kind of stinky thinking.
Yeah.
Because the evidence against it, as we've seen here in just 2 weeks. I mean, these are just reports in the last couple of weeks that we've run across is consistent with a young Earth model and not an old Earth.
But we're also seeing those reports suppressed because the dinosaur report was pulled from the conference proceedings, somebody saw it before it disappeared, so we know that it exists. And in this case, we're hoping these people will do carbon-14 dating. What if Creation Moments were to get on the phone and say, we'd like to know the age of that wood? Can you do that? Of course, it's probably...
Yeah, they'd probably get a little note back and say, well, it's 53 million years old.
Yeah.
So you'd have to suggest them to do carbon-14. And they may come back and say, I mean, it's clear that carbon-14 dating should be done with the sample. Now, will they get a 3,000 to 4,000 year date? Who knows?
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, and that would be interesting.
Now, carbon-14 dating is good for what period of time? For how far back?
Well, most folks are extrapolating it back to 5 half-lives, which would be in the 57,000, or 10 half-lives, which would be in the 57,000.
Okay, so tens of thousands rather than millions or billions.
57 million years old. Now, the practical upper end is about 40,000, 45,000.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know that even those ages are much longer than we believe the Earth is. So, you know, for all practical purposes, we're looking at something in the range between, you know, up to 6,000 years, 6,000 to 7,000 years.
Well, you know, it kind of galls me that there isn't a great hue and cry coming up about, one, the suppressed report on the dinosaurs, and this lack of carbon-14 dating in this case, because this seems to me to be have the potential of making huge news out there, and a blow for a young Earth approach to things. Where are the voices we're looking for?
Well, it has to come from our side. I mean, we have to be the voice, because their mindset is that, gee, this is an old sample. It's not worth doing carbon-14. I'm not going to waste my money doing it, because we're not going to find anything.
Is it an expensive process?
Well, I don't know what the cost is, but I would imagine it's not that expensive. I mean,
well, it's commonly done.
You know, maybe $5,000. Mm-hmm. We could do many, many analysis, I would assume. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very, and it's probably a lot cheaper than that. So it probably wouldn't take a whole lot of money to do the analysis
now,
on.
Does the article tell us who has this wood now? Where this piece of wood is?
It should be at the University of Alberta.
Aha, uh-huh. Okay. All right. Well, we'll have Dave Google that.
Well, I'm looking at a...
Get on the line, price, Dave, would you please?
What's that? Yeah, I'm looking at a price list for radiocarbon dating.
Oh, really?
Price and cost. It says for a standard... standard test, usually a small sample, 20 working days, a routine working sample, 30, and a highly precise sample, 40 working days. A sample type, wooden charcoal, about 100 euros.
100
which is
euros.
Not that much, much money.
It's cheap.
Right.
Change.
So, that's...
And the prices range from 100 up to 200. Euros, and the euro is trading at 1.3 I think this morning. So
we're talking $150 to $300,
$120, $130.
Okay.
Yeah. So not a great deal of in it. Yeah. You know, and according to this particular price sample from and the service to the laboratories in Kiev.
Oh, in Kiev. That's interesting. I can have my daughter give them the samples, because she's in Kiev.
We're getting this going already. The wheels are turning here.
What I'm curious.
So for $1,000, so our radio listening audience, so for less than $1,000, we can have several samples analyzed.
Yeah.
Easily. Mm-hmm. Yeah, easily. Well, and let's see, routine one is a carbon sample of 5 to 10 grams. So it's an incredibly small sample that's required. Now, I also read in the article that the sample that was found in the kimberlite is roughly the size of a medium piece of firewood.
So probably a couple feet long, and
2 to 3 feet long, maybe 15 pounds, 10 to 15 pounds.
Yeah, 4 or 5 inches in diameter. That's what it looked to be in that photo, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So.
And so, I mean, there's plenty of wood there to be tested.
Well, Don, Creation Moments brought this to our attention. Does that mean that Creation Moments would follow up on this to see if there's further testing or a further story after this?
Well, we haven't done that in the past, but it's a...
I think you need to ride these people.
Yeah, no, it's a very good suggestion, and it certainly would be well within our budget to be able to request this analysis and get a wood sample.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great fundraising opportunity, Don.
As a matter of fact,
you're right.
I hadn't thought of it that way, but yeah.
This will put you guys on the map.
Well, just to make sure, just to make sure that a logical approach is taken and that real science is done on this, it would be worth the effort, I would think. And
then we could just write up our results.
Yeah.
And then, with the problem would be getting it published.
Well, you got it right here on Broken Road Radio. We'll put that out to the world.
Of course, we'll publish it on our own website.
But sure, you should.
Getting it into a geology, journal might be a little difficult.
Well,
but,
I don't know.
You know, this is just like the folks that did the analysis with the soft bone tissue. I mean, and those were several samples from a wide variety of areas.
Well, there's another area where Creation Moments could be of a huge service to people, I think, if you can just prompt a response of some kind, even a no.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. Even if they refute the original report, that's something. That's better than just letting a dead end right here. But anyway, hopefully we can pursue that and even bring our listeners some further word on either this story or the dinosaur story, or maybe both. But I think it would just be fantastic if Creation Moments could make a few phone calls, fire off a few emails, maybe get somebody's attention at either of these two organizations. Again, Don Clark, a biochemist and vice chairman of the board at creationmoments.com. Creation Moments is a wonderful ministry. You can link to them from our website at brokenroadradio.com and see what they have to offer. And there are DVDs, and there's a blog, and there's some new programs coming out, too. You just described to us earlier what a one-minute program you're looking at.
Well, we're possibly going to produce a one-minute program. We're going to take our 2 minutes and edit them down and try to produce a format that might be more amenable to the younger folks.
Mm-hmm. Okay, a little faster moving and probably some loud music back there, and you got it knocked, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you can't use the soft stuff. But they go to sleep.
Yeah, I know. We're not going to lose our two-minute program, though, are we?
No, not at all. Yeah, we're hoping not to scavenge that.
That's too short as it is.
Program.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Don, again, thank you for joining us, and hopefully we'll follow up on this and maybe get some word back, or at least make the effort, and see if we can find out what the next step might be with the sample of wood, or this dinosaur soft tissue that was found and reported on. That was it Singapore? Where was that conference?
Oh, on the dinosaurs? Yeah, that was, I believe it was in Singapore.
Okay.
Yeah,
Singapore. It was International Scientific Conference where...
That's where my email went.
That's right. Still haven't heard back from that.
I went to CMAB. Let me check my inbox.
I'm going to throw the full weight of Broken Road Radio behind.
Let me check my inbox here quickly. Let me see if I've got a response.
You didn't send him a picture of you, did you?
Response. At this time, I report no response.
Okay. Well,
we'll hold our breath.
Yes. Please hold your breath.
Already turning blue. Yeah. Okay. Well, Don, again, thanks so much. Safe travel to you. Enjoy Idaho, even though it's brief. And we had a chance to meet with Don this weekend. David and I did, and David's wife just had a great time. It was a very special day.
I would suggest that we institute a recurring, at least annually, maybe more often. I would see maybe even every quarter, we reinstitute the Broken Road Radio wine tasting and vineyard visiting event.
Well, I think that's a good idea.
I think it's going to be a required thing, and I think I'm already looking forward to next spring.
Well, the next quarter. And wait a minute, you said quarterly. That would put us in about December. We could visit some Hawaiian winery, perhaps.
That's not a bad idea.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah. I like that idea a lot.
Yeah, so. you'll come on down to Texas. We've got plenty of wineries and vineyards in Texas now.
Yeah.
And not to get off the topic too much, but when is bud break in Texas?
It's in March.
Oh, okay.
Of course, Texas wine has a head on it, doesn't it?
I'm not. It's a head.
Don, thanks.
Well, let's just say the reds are much more robust.
Don, be blessed. Thanks so much for being with us. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Music continues on our Monday morning. So